Hare Krishna. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 1, titled Questions by Vidura. Text number 17. Sanirgata Kaurava Punyalabdho. गजाह्वया तीर्थ पद पदानि अन्वाक्रमत् पुण्य चिकीर्षयोर्व्याम् अधिष्ठितो यानि सहस्रमूर्तिः सः हि विदुर निर्गतः After having quit Kaurava, the Kuru dynasty, Punya, Piety, Labdha, so achieved, Gaja Ahvayat, from Hastinapur, Tirthapadaha, of the Supreme Lord, Padani, pilgrimages, Anvakramat, took shelter, Punya, Piety, Chikirshaya, desiring so, Urvyam, of high grade, Adhishtitaha, situated, Yani, all those, Sahasra, thousands, Murtihi, forms. Translation. By his piety, Vidura achieved the advantage of the pious Kauravas. After leaving Hastinapur, he took shelter of many places of pilgrimages, which are the Lord's lotus feet, with a desire to gain a high order of pious life. He travelled to holy places where thousands of transcendental forms of the Lord are situated. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Vidura was undoubtedly a highly elevated and pious soul. Otherwise, he would not have taken his birth in the Kaurava family. To have high parentage, to possess wealth, to be highly learned, and to have great personal beauty are all due to past pious acts. But such pious possessions are not sufficient for obtaining the grace of the Lord and being engaged in his transcendental loving service. Vidura considered himself less pious and therefore he decided to travel to all the great places of pilgrimage in the world in order to achieve greater piety and advance nearer to the Lord. At that time, Lord Krishna was personally present in the world and Vidura could have at once approached him directly. But he did not do so because he was not sufficiently freed from sin. One cannot be 100% devoted to the Lord unless and until he is completely free from all effects of sin. Vidura was conscious that by the association of the diplomatic Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana, he had lost his piety and was therefore not fit to associate at once with the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 7:28, this is confirmed in the following verse. Yesham tvandagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvanda moha nirmukta bhajate mam bhajante mam dhravrataha. Persons who are sinful asuras like Kamsa and Jarasandha cannot think of Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the absolute truth. Only those who are pure devotees, those who follow the regulative principles of religious life are prescribed, life as prescribed in the scriptures, are able to engage themselves in karma yoga and then jnana yoga and thereafter by pure meditation can understand pure consciousness. When God consciousness is developed, one can take advantage of the association of pure devotees. Syan Mahaseveya Vipraha Punya Tirtha Nishevanat. One is able to associate with the Lord even during the existence of this life. Places of pilgrimage are meant for eradicating the sins of the pilgrims, and they are distributed all over the universe just to give facility to all concerned for attaining pure existence and God realization. One should not be satisfied, however, merely by visiting the places of pilgrimage and performing one's prescribed duties. He should be eager to meet the great souls who are already there, engaged in the service of the Lord. In each and every place of pilgrimage, the Lord is present in his various transcendental forms. These forms are called Archamurtis, or forms of the Lord which can be easily appreciated by the common man. The Lord is transcendental to our mundane senses. He cannot be seen with our present eyes, nor can he be heard with our present ears. To the degree that we have entered into the service of the Lord, or to the proportion to which our lives are freed from sins, we can perceive the Lord. But even though we are not free from sins, the Lord is kind enough to allow us to allow us the facility of seeing him in his Archamurtis in the temple. The Lord is all-powerful, and therefore he is able to accept our service by presentation of his Archa form. No one, therefore, should foolishly think the Archa in the temple to be an idol. Such an Archamurti is not an idol, but the Lord himself. And to the proportion to which one is free from sins, he is able to know the significance of the Archamurti. The guidance of a pure devotee is therefore always required. In the land of Bharatavarsha, there are many hundreds and thousands of places of pilgrimage distributed all over the country. And by traditional practice, the common man visits such holy places during all seasons of the year. Some of the Archa representations of the Lord situated in the different places of pilgrimage are mentioned herewith. The Lord is present at Mathura, the birthplace of Lord Krishna, as Adikeshava. The Lord is present in Puri, Orissa, as Lord Jagannath, also known as Purushottama. He is present in Allahabad, Prayag, as Bindumadhava. At Mandara Hill, he is present as Madhusudana. In the Anandaranya, he is known as Vasudeva, Padmanabha, and Janardana. At Vishnuganchi, he is known as Vishnu. And at Mayapura, he is known as Hari. There are millions and billions of such Archa forms of the Lord distributed all over the universe. All these Archamurtis are summarized in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the following words. Sarvatra Prakash Tara Bhakte Sukh Dite Jagatera Adharma Nashi Dharma Stapite. The Lord has so distributed himself all over the universe just to give pleasure to the devotees and to give the common man facility to eradicate his sins and to establish religious principles in the world. Translation again. By the piety, Vidura achieved the advantage of the pious Kauravas. After leaving Hastinapur, he took shelter of many places of pilgrimages, which are the Lord's lotus feet. With a desire to gain a higher order of pious life, he traveled to holy places where thousands of transcendental forms of the Lord are situated. Om Jnanatim Randasya Jnananjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhudale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vande Shri Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhutair Mahadbhirya Ima Puro Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhungte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmaka Solankrishishta Bhagavan Vacham Sime Tissue paper. Hare Krishna. Padma Vidur was born in the Kaurava family. And as it is mentioned, he had a very pious birth. Kunti Devi says, Janma Ishirya Shruta Shribhir. Janma, high parentage, having great wealth, having great personal beauty, and being learned. They are sometimes impediments to taking up Krishna consciousness or devotional service. So here we can see that Mahatma Vidur is born in a high family, high aristocratic royal family, and it is definitely because of his past piety. Even though he is pious, that is insufficient to attain the lotus feet of Krishna. So the material piety in itself is not enough to be a devotee of the Lord. Rather, it can be an impediment in service of the Lord. So here, Vidura, having got this opportunity to leave the kingdom of Kauravas, which is Hastinapur, is going on a pilgrimage, desiring higher level of piety, which is devotional piety. So many times, punya, the word punya, piety, is used in two contexts. One is the material piety, which one can get from mundane charitable activities, which are not necessarily in connection with the Supreme Lord. However, that charitable activity can give some piety, but it cannot give spiritual advancement. It cannot give Krishna. So here we can see Vidura is rejecting one kind of piety and he is going for something which is superior. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the cowherd boys of Vrindavan who are playing with Krishna are glorified for accumulating so much of piety. Krita punya punjaha idham satam brahma sukhane bhutya dasyam gatanam paradevatena mayashritanam naradarakena sakam vijahru krita punya punjaha. The Lord, who is worshipped by the impersonalists as the impersonal effulgence, and they want to merge into this impersonal aspect of the Lord to attain Brahman realization and to attain Brahmananda. And the same Lord is being worshipped by the serviators as the Supreme Lord, as Narayan. And for the materialistic people, Krishna appeared just like an ordinary boy. So, Maya Shritanam Naradarakena, those who are in Maya, they saw Krishna as just an ordinary boy. But Sakam Vijahru Krita Punya Punjaha. However, those who had accumulated so much of piety, Krita Punya Punjaha, they played with Krishna, just like a friend. So, that Punya is referring to spiritual piety. So, all the residents of Vrindavan, they had so much of piety, but that is not material piety, that is spiritual piety. And Vidura is after that punya, which is completely spiritual in nature. So he left his kingdom and he is going on a pilgrimage. And here, the places of pilgrimage is given as Tirthapada Padani. He went on a pilgrimage. Tirthapada is a few meanings are there for Tirthapada. Tirthapada means, one is the Supreme Lord himself, unto his feet, all the different places of pilgrimage take shelter. So, at Lord's lotus feet, all the places of pilgrimages are present. So, that is one meaning of Tirthapad. Second meaning is that the Lord's devotee himself is known as Tirthapad. Because Tirthi Kurvandi Tirthani, Santva Sena Gadabhrata. Because wherever a pure devotee goes, that place is Tirtha or is a place of pilgrimage. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he encircled the whole world so many times and he created so many tirthas or so many places of pilgrimage, including Melbourne, this temple. This is a place of pilgrimage. Because originally a pure devotee of the Lord came here and he established this temple. He established worship of the Supreme Lord. So, taking association of devotees, even in this place of pilgrimage, one can make so much of progress. So that is another meaning of Tirthapad, that is a pure devotee of the Lord. Then, as it is mentioned here, the Lord is present personally in all these places of pilgrimage. So, Vidura wanted to take shelter of these holy places so that he can make advancement. So that's why in our Krishna consciousness, we also visit holy places. Not only this temple, we also go to Bharatvarsh, as is mentioned here. We go to different holy dhams so that we can eradicate our sins on one level, and also we can get association of the devotees who are residing in these holy places, and also can take shelter of different temples where the Lord is worshipped with so much of devotion. So we get multiple benefit just by going to holy dham. So we know we all go to holy dham as much as we can, and we take shelter of the holy dham, as it is mentioned here in this purport. It is insufficient just going to the holy place and just having a tourism, you know, a tourist location. Many people go to holy places just for tourism purpose. We can see in Govardhan big you know billboards. We can see what is that? Golf course in the foothill of Govardhan. Yeah, skyscrapers in Govardhan. You can see this kind of billboards. Then they are promoting different apartments and different places in Govardhan. So going to holy places for such kind of purposes are of no use. So this is more gross purposes of going to holy place. And a bit more pious purpose for going to holy place is to take bath in the holy river. So there, many times we can see in India, people go to holy places and the whole purpose is to just to take bath in the holy river. So I took bath in Yamuna, I took bath in Ganges. So they give a list of rivers in which they have taken bath. So Bhagavatam says that is again not enough. And in fact, Bhagavatam criticizes. Sa eva gokhara. Such a person who is going to holy place just to take bath, their association with the holy place is only to take bath in the holy waters, such a person is considered just like a cow or an ass. Why? Because they are not interested to take association of the devotees. Generally for people, maybe they are pious, the whole thing comes to going to a holy place is just to visit the place or just to take bath. They completely neglect taking association of the devotees of the Lord, because that is the whole purpose. So when we take association of the devotees of the Lord, then we can hear from them. We can get their association. We can get their instructions. And having heard these instructions, one can apply and one can make progress in one's devotional life. So this is the purpose for which Vidura is going and visiting all these holy places. Now, the next question comes. If the Lord was present already at that point of time in earth, then why did Vidura went to all these holy places? He could have gone directly to the Supreme Lord. So this is a very interesting point, because everyone wants to see the Lord. Assume now the Lord has incarnated. The Lord is there in Dwaraka. If you think like that in this, you know, material world, in the Dwaraka Dham, the Lord is personally present. Then everyone would like to go meet him and think about such a pure devotee as Mahatma Vidura. Definitely he wants to go and see the Lord. However, he doesn't do so. Why? Because it is because of his humility. Because of his humility, he could see that I am impious. I am afflicted with sin. So I want to purify myself before getting the association of the Lord. So that's why he doesn't go to Dwaraka. Rather, he goes to all the holy places to eradicate his sins. So these holy places are so potent that they can remove the sins. So that was the worry of Ganga. Mother Ganga, when Mother Ganga was about to descend to earth, she was very much concerned. Her concern was that if I come to this earth planet, so many people would take advantage of me by taking bath in me. In that way, they would deposit all kinds of sins in me, and I may get polluted. I may get contaminated. So who is there to protect me? Who is there to purify me? So this was one of the concern of Mother Ganga. So we can see just taking bath in holy places and taking shelter of such rivers, definitely sins are eradicated. So Vidura wanted to go, he wanted to meet great sages in these holy places. He wanted to take shelter of the holy rivers and he wanted to take darshan of different earth deity forms of the Lord. So he wanted to do everything. So he left. He could realize that he wanted such association because of his humility. Then he could see he was sinful. So here comes to the very important point from Bhagavad Gita. Esham tantagadam pavam jananam punyakarmana te dvanda mohanar mukta bhajante mam dhadavrataha. We want to worship the Lord dhadavrataha with utmost determination. So the whole purpose of Krishna consciousness is to worship the Lord with great determination. Because the material energy is so powerful, it can distract us in so many different ways. And even many people have been distracted from devotional service. So the material energy is very powerful. This is a dham of Maya. And we don't belong to this place. So the power of material energy can never be denied. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita also that Mama Maya Durateya. So it is such an insurmountable energy of the Lord. So if you want to worship the Lord with great determination, then one has to be free from all sins. So this is a very important point for all of us. If we want determination in Krishna consciousness, then we need to be free from all the sins. So this is, it can look contradictory. Because if we want to engage purely in Krishna consciousness, then we want to get rid of all the sins. But to get rid of all the sins, what we want? We need to engage in devotional service. So it looks like a cyclical process, you know. One is required for the other and the other one is required for the next. So it looks like cyclical. So then we can try to understand how it works. So it is mentioned in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita in the purport that to practice in sadhana bhakti or regulated devotional service which we are now engaged in, like visiting the temple, seeing the deities, chanting 16 rounds of Hare Krishna, etc. If we want to engage in this regulated devotion service, we have to strictly follow the four regulative principles. So the practical application of this verse in a devotee life is by following four regulative principles. Because they are the root of all sinful activities. So now the question comes, how strictly we should follow? So the answer is, we had to try our best, to our best ability we had to follow four regulative principles. So it is no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex. So when we try to think about these regulative principles and when we try to think about following them strictly, then it is not just external, it is internal also. And it also includes, when we want to go even stricter, it also includes seeing and understanding and acting for whose pleasure we are doing all this. If we still think we have the natural tendency when we do things, we think about our own enjoyment in our devotion service. And also when we see things, objects of sense gratification, we naturally think about our own pleasure, which is actually sinful. Which is not the right thing to do. So when we try to go deeper in terms of the principles, we have to understand there is a whole internal world for us to work on. It is not only external, it has the internal purpose. We have to meditate how our mind is working. How is it actually going after sense gratification? Are we trying to restrict even internally? Are we trying to stop? Okay, it's enough. Mind, it's enough wandering. Now get back to Krishna. So we need to try to do this as much as possible with sincerity. Then we can see, okay, there is reciprocation of the Lord. So this is a very interesting point in Krishna consciousness, that when we try to be stricter in our sadhana, in our behavior, in our Krishna consciousness, then it is not a dry process. Usually when we think being strict to oneself, it can look very dry, which is true, it can be a very dry process. However, in Krishna consciousness, when we do that to please Krishna, then it is a different game altogether. Why? Because then we can see the reciprocation of Krishna. Then we can see the hand of Krishna. So when we see the reciprocation of Krishna, then our acts become sweet. That's the reason we don't recommend dry renunciation. Dry renunciation means I want to renounce everything just like that. So one can do so, but as it is mentioned, it is very difficult to be dridhavrata because the material energy is insurmountable. The only way one can cross over this material energy is through devotional service. So the renunciation has to be accompanied with devotion. So we need renunciation with devotion. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam Shikshartham Eka Purusha Purana Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kribam Bhudhintam Tamaham Prabhati. So Vairagya Vidya. So the Lord appeared to give Vairagya, detachment from the material world, and Vidya and the transcendental knowledge, Nija Bhakti Yogam, and also to give Bhakti, the devotion unto the Lord. So this Vairagya and Vidya will naturally manifest when we develop devotion unto the Supreme Lord. So we don't practice renunciation artificially. So nectar devotion, it is mentioned that the renunciation is not considered as a limb of bhakti. It's not a limb of devotional service. It has to come naturally because of devotion. Then that renunciation can sustain. So here we can see the example of Mahatma Vidura, that he had utmost affection for the Supreme Lord. And because of that, when he got the right opportunity, he left the kingdom. And he went into the forest and to the places of pilgrimage. And finally he meets with his spiritual master and makes further progress in Krishna consciousness. So that we can see in the further verses in this chapter and the following chapters. Srila Prabhupada gives utmost emphasis in this purport to Archamurti, or the deity form of the Lord. Because we cannot see the transcendental form of the Lord. Can we see the Lord directly, face to face? Actually, no. Because even though we have our spiritual body, we are covered with our subtle and gross body. So with our gross senses, how can we see something which is beyond matter? The Lord is beyond matter, and our eyes are material by nature. So how can we perceive the Supreme Lord with our current vision? It is impossible. Then, of course, there is the other process as mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Shrutekshana Patha, Brahma says. Shrutekshana Patha. Seeing the Lord through the ears. So that process is there. That is Srimad Bhagavatam. When we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, yes, we can see the Lord through the ears. Shrutekshana Patha. So that path is definitely there. However, to see the Lord with our conditioned eyes, or to touch the Lord with our hands, or to hear the words of the Lord directly is impossible in this conditioned state. So, the Lord expands in different forms. The Lord expands as in his archa form, that is the deity form. He has his para expansion, he has his leela expansions. So he has many expansions, of which only one expansion is accessible in this world directly, and that is Archa. So that is the deity form of the Lord. So this deity form of the Lord is considered most merciful, because even we can see them, we can worship them, we can do all the services unto them. So if you see a temple like here, the whole temple is centered around Sri Sri Radhavallabha, the deity of the Lord. Everything is centered around them. Bhagavatam, we are speaking for the pleasure of the Lord and the devotees. We have prasadam, which is offered to the Lord. The whole preaching, it is ultimately to bring people to the Lord. So everything is centered around the Supreme Lord. So this is giving us an opportunity to serve the Lord personally. So Srila Prabhupada emphasizes this Archamurti, which is directly present for all of us, all common people. And the Lord is all powerful, and therefore He is able to accept our service by presentation of His Archa form. So Prabhupada gives the example. What is the standard example Srila Prabhupada gives, or analogy He gives to explain how the Lord accepts all the offerings? Post box, that's right. So Prabhupada says, if it's an authorized post box, then you can just post your letter, it'll go to the destination. But if you put that anywhere else, it won't go anywhere. So in the same way, the Archa form or the deity form of the Lord is an arrangement of the Lord Himself, such that we can offer everything to the Lord and He can accept through the deity form. So how it works? It is explained in the purport in Sri Isha Upanishad that if Lord wishes, He can convert matter into spirit. It is His wish. So if you see Archa form of the Lord, say Radha Vallabha is made of marble, Sri Sri Gauranitha is made of brass or maybe mix of metals, and Jagannath Balabha Subhadra made of wood. So we can think, okay, they are made of these kind of material substances. However, they are not limited by those material substances. Rather, they possess all the potencies to the maximum degree. How is it possible? Because if Lord wishes, He can transform matter into spirit. If He wish, He can convert spirit into matter. For the Lord, there is nothing such as material energy from the Lord's perspective. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a prison department. For a government, all the departments are equal. Even the prison staff, they get paid well. But from a point of view of a criminal, prison department and the jail is something which is very difficult to accept and very difficult to go into. But from the perspective of government, it's all the same. In the same way, for the Lord, all the energies are equal. He doesn't have any problem with any energies, and He never gets affected by any of these energies. However, for the conditioned being, we are in the trap of material energy. So when the Lord wants to come to this world so that we can get His audience very freely, then He comes through the Archa form, where the matter is being transformed into spirit. So we never consider the Radha Vallabha as just marble, but we understand they are all powerful personality of Godhead. So this is the way we can see the Supreme Lord. In fact, it is mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilas that if one sees the Lord and he sees he is just Shila, he is just a stone, then it's a great offense. Similarly, if one maintains an attitude even to devotees according to their material qualifications, then it's an offense. He is from this background, he is from the other background, he has this material qualification, or he doesn't have this material qualification, he is rich, he is poor. If one brings in this kind of material tendencies into even devotees, that is considered of a great offense. So we are talking about something which is transcendental, something which is beyond our senses actually. So we can ask, how can we see the Supreme Lord who is completely spiritual with our mundane senses? That requires purification. So if one comes to the temple and if he sees the Lord, then he will only see as a statue or an idol because his senses are not purified. However, when he engages in devotion service, chants Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and hears about Krishna, and after that when he sees the same deity, he can actually see as the Supreme Lord. So according to the level of consciousness, we can perceive the Lord in the deity. And Lord also reciprocates in the same way. Then Srila Prabhupada concludes the purport by presenting various tirthas or various holy places in Bharatvarsha. So that is the great good fortune of Bharatvarsha, that there are so many holy places and there are so many deities of the Lord. So when we go to India, personally, I try to spend more time in the holy dhams than with the family. So that's how we save ourselves. We cut short time with the family visit and spend more time in the dham. So we get more association of the devotees. We get association of the dham and the beautiful forms of the deities. So we can spend so much of time there and we can get purified and we can make advancement. And then we visit family, we will go with some energy, spiritual energy. And then we can take them also to different holy places. So this time when I went, I spent most of the time in the holy places. And then I visited my family. And then we went around in my part of India. You know, I went to Kerala, different holy places. So that they also get benefit. In fact, it was very interesting. As it's mentioned here about Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a nice verse quoted. That the Lord is distributed himself in so many places for the pleasure of the devotees. So this time when I went to met with my family and I wanted to find a temple. Because I was reading in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Madhya Leela about a temple of Lord Rama and Lakshman. So there is a particular location mentioned. It was in Kerala, as Mahaprabhu was doing his South Indian Yatra. So I knew few temples where Mahaprabhu had visited. You know, one is Padmanabha temple, one is the Atikeshava temple, one is Janardana temple. So I have been to these temples and I go when I go to that part of India. But this time I wanted to go to this place because I have read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but no one knew. So I asked many devotees, so they said they don't know about it. So I went to my dad's place. So there, near that place, there are five temples established by five Pandavas. So one established by, these are Vishnu temples. One is established by Yudhishthir, one by Bhima, Arjun, Nakula and Sahadeva. So these five temples are quite famous and everyone knows about. So first we visited these temples. So first we went to the temple of a temple, the deity worshipped by Yudhishthir actually. And it is established or installed by some other sage. So that's how it works. So all these deities are worshipped by different Pandavas. During their exile, when they were in the forest, they worshipped. So that is the story behind. So I went to the first temple. So we started inquiring to people who knew about all these temples. And also we inquired to the establishment who looks after all these temples. So there is a body who looks after all the temples in that area. So they didn't get a correct, correct understanding. They were not very clear about this Ram Lakshman temple. So we went to the first temple, we couldn't get a clue of it. And then, as we were going to one temple after another, one temple there was a pujari who was pretty old. So we mentioned, is there a Ram Lakshman temple in this particular area? And the place name was also different. Now that place is known as Chengannur, it is mentioned Champapura or something in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I mentioned, okay, the old name of this place is Champapura, and there is this Ram Lakshman temple, do you know about it? So then this old person, he said, yes, I know this place. The deity of Rama and Lakshman are still there. And it is a very, very ancient temple. But now they changed the name of the deity. They made the deity name something else. One, they made it Mahavishnu and something, some Shankara Narayan and something like that. They named it differently. But he said it's actually Rama and Lakshman. Then we went there, we went and visited that temple, and it was an old temple, and the actual where the deities are present, it was like very, very ancient. The outer part they had constructed new, and so we asked the pujari about the temple. He said it was a bigger temple, and it was very ancient, but no one knows the history of the temple. But actually, to the original pujaris, it is Rama and Lakshman, but 7 years back, they change the name of the deities. So it was nice. So I took darshan of the deities and came back. So it was a nice experience to see a temple visited by Mahaprabhu. So when we go to India, we can take shelter of different holy places where we can see the devotees and we can get association with the devotees. So I stop here and see if there are any quick questions or comments. Okay. Okay. It's not so direct, but in terms of energy we can see. That's why I try to explain how the Lord perceives the material energy. The material energy as such is not material for the Lord, because the nature of the material energy is such that it can bind one and it can make one forgetful of Krishna. But for Krishna's perspective, the material energy is another energy of him. And it doesn't have the same material nature. So that in that sense. Similarly, even for pure devotees of the Lord, for them also, material energy does not act as material energy. So it is mentioned in a verse by Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur. Vishwam Purna Sukhayate. So he mentions that the material nature, the material energy and the material world become a place of complete happiness, not just ordinary happiness. Purna Sukhayate. So the material energy is not acting as material energy for such a pure devotee. So it is also mentioned that even though it is the duty of Maya Devi to test and to bind, even a person who is making progress in Krishna consciousness, still if one is very advanced, then the Maya Devi can push one to Krishna. So in that way. And another example can be given to the same. Oh, sorry, that's the opposite actually. The matter becoming spirit, prasad, for example. It's matter, but when it is offered, it is spiritual. It's not the opposite. Thanks. Yes, Bhaksar.
When someone asked Janavinas Prabhu what the deity is made of, he said, what your heart is made of. Mm. That's the same.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. Very nice answer. It reminds me of Srila Prabhupada saying, if you treat deity as a stone, the deity will treat you as a stone. Same point. Thank you. That was very nice. Yes, Prabhu. I don't know actually. I don't know what is the specific reference. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu. Okay. The difference is that, in one sense, there is no difference, because both are transcendental, so there is no difference. At the same time, there is difference, and the difference is that a deity, as we know, there are different material the deity can be made of. The deity needs installation. Then they become worshipable. So when the deity, we don't worship unless and until they get installed. So there are different procedures to install the deity. Prana Pratishtha is there in the temple worship. However, in terms of saligram, saligram doesn't need installation. So saligram is Krishna. The Lord is present. And if we go one more level, it is mentioned by Jiva Goswami that when one sees saligram, one has to see saligram as the seat of the Lord, in the sense that when we see saligram, one can see not just as a shila or a round form, one can actually see the swaroop of that particular shila. And one can worship the shila according to the swaroop. Say for example, if we have Gopal deity, we can offer the peacock feather, we can offer the flute, you know. So because we see the swaroop. But the essential difference is that One needs insulation and one doesn't need insulation. In his journey, did he see Krishna? I don't think so. No, he couldn't. No, he didn't see Krishna. But he met with Maitreya, who had the final audience of Krishna. Because Maitreya and Uddhava were present when Krishna was present, you know, just before his departure. Then the Lord sends away Uddhava, okay, you go to Badrikashram. Then Dwarika was there, his charioteer and servant. So that was the final stage, and he instructed Dwarika, and the Lord departs. So after the whole incident, Vidura actually meets with Maitreya. So now at this stage, actually, the Krishna has already departed. You know, after when you come to Vidura's questions to Maitreya, actually, and Uddhava, and that time the Lord has already departed. Yeah. So he doesn't meet at that point. He doesn't. But of course, Vidura has met with Krishna before, as we know, in Hastinapur. Yeah, that's the nature of devotional service, that in humility one never considers he is qualified to get a personal association of the Lord, but at the same time a devotee has desire to see the Lord. So the Lord reciprocates. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Grantharashimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki.